You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the U Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby.
And I'm Joe Silverzweig. Hi, everybody. We're back in the studio. It's so exciting to actually be able to hear our dulcet tones.
Yeah, no mobile device studio this time. So hopefully you guys were able to withstand whatever audio quality issues you may have had. Hopefully it wasn't too bad, but here we are recording in studio on the mics, so we should be good today. To get started, let me just tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go over our quick hitters, review the schedule. We're going to talk about the hype train and maybe slow it down a little bit. And then
aboard.
Well, don't worry. I'm sure you've got some magic stuff to throw on the hype train to take it up
to
another level.
No idea. You have no idea.
I will not be surprised at all. But I'm going to try to slow it down a little bit beforehand. And then we're going to talk about the schedule. So we're going to go a little hype train slowdown, then schedule with Joseph's models that have been updated. And I'm sure the hype train is going to speed right back up, unfortunately. But I also want to talk a little bit about expectations. We're going to go through, we're going to make some predictions, right? Some win losses. We're not scared to do that. But we also need to talk about expectations for fans, because we don't want the hype train to ruin the season for us as fans, right? So on a side note, just keep that in mind. And so before we get into the schedule, just another quick reminder, it really does help us if you go and provide reviews and feedback for us. We want to make the show better. Please give us feedback, utalk@gmail.com, or reach out to Joe or myself on Twitter. I'm Grant TBS, and he is Jay Silverswig. For us.
We know you're listening. We can see you out there. So just give us a little click, a little five-star click, or a little email, here's why I hate you. We'd like that, too, because that would tell us what we need to improve, and we love to improve.
Exactly. So, all right, let's get into the quick hitters. So schedule hasn't been changes. There's the huge update last week that added a volleyball scrimmage before the in between the soccer games. But so we've got soccer at Clemson on the 22nd. So I believe that is tomorrow. And then we've got the volleyball red-white scrimmage on the 24th. Then soccer at Alabama on the 25th. And then August 29th. We get the football game that everyone's looking for at Rice-Eccles South against the team down south. So there's that. And then
that's 8 days. That's eight days
gets
away.
Gets closer and closer.
It's really very close at this point. We've got one more show. Alas, I will not be present for that show. But I'm as excited as anybody. And let's get done.
As geeky as it was, I went through and made sure what my work wardrobe was going to be for next week. Nothing but solid red and Utah gear. So I'm looking forward to it. And then after that, August 30th, this has hit our schedule, is Utah volleyball. So that will be here in Salt Lake, so at the Huntsman Center, that is celebrating its 50th year this year, in case you didn't know.
Mazel tov.
All right, so let's talk about this hype train and how fast it's going.
Fast. So it's going fast.
Very fast. So as a precursor, I listen to any Ute podcast that I can get my hands on. So Utah Man Podcast, good listen. The Blockcast that Ute Zone's now putting out as a free podcast that's part of Ute Zone. I listen to it. I listen to the interviews on ESPN 700. I listen to what I can. Let's just put it this way. I have not heard any predictions below 10-2. They are 10-2 or higher. And even earlier this offseason, we were going over scheduling and what would be the standout or the biggest game or the shocker loss or whatever it is that we came up with. It was really hard for me to pick those things out because I wanted wins or just see the tides turning. And but let's pump the brakes a little bit. So SB Nation does a blue chip ratio every year, and it's based on the recruiting percentage of blue chip recruits, four stars and better. And historically, teams with 50% or higher are the teams that can win the national championship. The Utes are sitting in the somewhere in the 20s, the 20%. So ultimately, let's just put all those playoff hopes. I know Pick Six previews put the Utes in the playoff as their underdog. Everyone's calling them their sleeper. Maybe we need to slow down on
now,
that.
Now, was this playoff teams or championship teams?
Championship.
Because there's a big difference there. And I think that's the core issue maybe with fans thinking every playoff team is an equal sort of contender for the championship. And I'd say that kind of can't be further from the truth. Because you have two teams out there who are 5 to 6 touchdowns above average. And then you have a bunch of teams, maybe want to say 6 to 12. We don't know exactly how many, but 6 to 12 that are 2 to 3 touchdowns above average. And we're not sure which one of those 6 to 12 teams will be the one that wins 12 games and then wins their conference title. But two of them probably will win 11 or 12 and their conference title, and then have a really good shot of making the playoff. But that doesn't make them the same as Alabama and Clemson, who are going to cruise to the playoff because they're 2 to 3 touchdowns better than everybody else, including the teams that are vying for the 3 and 4 playoff spots. So there's a huge gap. And that gap is described by that exact thing that you're talking about. It's described by blue chip talent. I was watching some clips from Alabama Clemson last night working on a math project that I'm doing. And you say Zach Moss can break out anytime, 80 yards, touchdown. Absolutely true. Totally true. And Jalen Johnson can get that Stanford pick six anytime. Absolutely, totally true. The difference between Alabama and Utah is every single player on the field. And most of the players in the second string all have that capacity. And with Utah, it's a few of these guys who can do it, and the rest is really solid, is really well coached. It's a lot of talent, NFL-grade talent, but not that elite game-breaking kind of thing that literally anybody – I mean, you can't throw a rock at the Clemson sideline without hitting a 5-star athlete who can do whatever he wants sometimes. And that's – I don't want to say insurmountable. I mean, Utah would have a 15 to 25% chance of beating Alabama or Clemson, and then another 15 to 25% chance of beating the other one of them that they had to play in the next game. But those are brutal. I mean, that's two brutal low odds, similar to when Arizona plays Utah. That's how big the gap is. And so there's a big difference between being a playoff team, which means your schedule sets up so that you can win 11 or 12 games with a fairly high rate of probability, and a championship team, which means you can crush everybody in your path in those first 12 games, sail through your conference title, and then be a 2-touchdown favorite against the 3rd and 4th best team in the country.
Right. No, you're totally right. I mean, for those who care to know, I mean, you can Google this pretty quickly. Just Google SB Nation blue chip ratio and you can find it. But like the blue chip ratio right now, Alabama's at 80%. Clemson's at 60. Miami is at 51. So that's the lowest. But here's the thing. I do want to give some hope to this. And the hope I see is in what Chris Peterson's done at Washington. It's been a slow build. And he started in 2014 at 22%. It went to 23%, 26%, 30%, 40%, and now it's at 54%. So they got into the blue chip
ratio. Oh, yeah, and Utah can get there if they win some Rose Bowls. I mean, you know, they win the
Pac-12
title. They'll get there, and you'll start to see those improvements as they start to win those games, if they win those games, and this is the year to do it. But this year, if you're thinking, oh, we get to the playoffs and then anything's possible, oh, you get to the playoffs and then you're probably going to get your rear end handed to you by Alabama. I mean,
well,
that's what happens to most everybody,
including
blue chip teams, including Notre Dame. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what happens to you when you play a team that's 3 touchdowns better. You get beat, usually by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, hopefully for the Pac-12's sake, if Washington, Utah, Oregon, one of those 3 teams are in the playoff because they had an amazing season, it won't be an embarrassing loss in the first round. The Pac-12's got to represent a little bit better, though. So just, you know, slow down the hype train. Let's not think it's anything's possible.
Don't worry, I've got Kool-Aid. I've got Kool-Aid in my phone. You guys can have it here in just a minute.
All right. So let's get into the schedule, though. So we're going to go game by game, make any points we have about the game, and then we'll make some predictions. All right. So let's start off with the first one, August 29th, Brigham Young University at – Brigham Young University, 8:15 kick on ESPN. We're going to go into detail about the game next week, so we'll save some of the detail. But any thoughts on this one?
It's a must win for so many different reasons.
I disagree.
It's a must win for the rivalry, and then it's a must win for tone and for the sense of what the season is sort of capable of. I think the whole narrative of this season requires a casual sort of deconstruction of this BYU team. This BYU team is not good enough to stand up to the Utes at all if they're as good as we think they are. Rivalry close or not rivalry close, they should get their rear ends handed to them just like they did in 04, 08. Like, it should be a beatdown. And if Utah is that good, it better be. And then I think the rivalry has grown tired a little bit, in the sense of, like, everybody shows up, Utah wins in kind of a close game, and BYU fans are like, oh, Everett, these games are so close. These games, there's no talent gap. There's no this, there's no that. And Utah fans say, we won that. And I think everybody's a little tired of it, and we need a little change of pace. And that change of pace is not going to happen from a BYU win, obviously. But I would like to see it just change the tone of the conversation, because it's exhausting, and I'm tired of the same conversation for the last, what, 9 years?
Eight years, however long it's been. Soon to be nine, most likely. I mean, look, the thing with the rivalry game is, though, if I went through the schedule and said you get to pick one loss – just one loss. This is probably a great loss to take. In the line of reasoning there is that at the end of the season, you've beat Washington and beat these other people, then beat everyone else on your schedule, and you lost to your rival the first game of the season. Like, that people will write that off pretty quickly, I think. But nonetheless, I agree with that. It's, to me, it sounds like you're predicting a win. I think your model had it at like high 90 percentile.
It's actually not that high. It's in the 80s. Because it's a road game. But it's high enough, and it shouldn't be. I mean, it shouldn't be close. It should be a 8-plus point victory, and it better be.
All right. So we both have BYU losing to Utah next Thursday. All right. Next game. And let's see how long to spend on these. So Northern Illinois comes to Rice Eccles at 11 a.m. kick time on the Pac-12 network. I'll start us out. Really hot take: the Utes win.
Yes.
Okay. So we're both picking wins there. All right. Next game, home against Idaho State, 2:15 p.m. kick time. I don't see TV on the ESPN page, but I'm guessing that's going to be on the Pac-12 networks. So based on that, what do you got, Joseph?
A W.
Another W. We're both undefeated right now. The season is undefeated coming into what will be the real tone center of the season, the beginning of Pac-12 conference play at USC, 7 p.m. kick on FS1. What do you have, Joseph?
Utah wins.
Well, there's a little slowness to that.
Well, I had other things I want to say, I guess, but it's probably the closest or one of the closest games setting up on the schedule. But how can I pick the favored team to lose? I mean, they're better. They should be better. It's early in this season with a new everything, and they're kind of a mess right now, according to reports. So yeah, Utah wins.
Yeah, as we referenced the blue chip ratio, USC's at 60% on that blue chip ratio. Their coaching's just been so bad that they can't get that talent to do what they need. And so because of that, just on coaching alone, it's going to be – I think it's Utah. The funny thing about this, is this another time that Utah causes a coach to ride a commercial flight home because he lost his job after the game? I mean, I guess not a commercial flight because he's going to be at USC, but...
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Utah usually gets a coach fired or two every year, which is kind of interesting to watch. I don't think so. I think it's early enough in the season that what are the games before then for USC? I think they'll probably
have a pretty good schedule. A good point. So they've got Fresno State, tough.
Tedford is doing things there, yeah, but I do think USC should win that game.
But then Stanford.
That's a loss.
Okay, so they're going to lose. And then BYU. And as much as we are downplaying the BYU game versus USC, it's not like they're a horrible team.
Is it at BYU or at?
It is at BYU.
That's not a gimme. So how about this? If this is USC's third loss, yeah, I could see firings happening.
I mean,
if it's their second loss, I don't think so.
Everyone's saying it, but USC's schedule, man, talk about a brutal. Like,
well, they have basically what happened to Utah last year, except Utah was good last year and USC is not this year.
So after Utah, Washington, Notre Dame. So like they
there's gonna be nothing left.
There's no bye games there either. They don't get a bye game. Like, am I missing something?
I think their bye game is technically the last game of the season.
It's after Washington. Yeah. They have a bye game, and then their bye game is the last week, right, after your UCLA game. So, yeah, to me, looking at that schedule, knowing how much of a mess coaching is there, I think it's a win for the Utes. They're going to overcome the drought of victories in the Coliseum.
It's a tough place to play, but it's getting less tough as time goes on and Utah feels more of a sense of ownership, I think, of that rivalry. And that rivalry is a strong word, but of that series and the sense of competition now is really sharp, I think, for the Utes with all the close and exciting games and a couple of big wins. And I think they're certainly feeling a sense of accessibility to the victory and expect it.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Washington State.
So this was one of the ones that I kind of put a question mark on when we talked about it a few weeks ago. But I'm going to say a win here. And a lot of this is because as I've been building my models and looking at the math and doing all that stuff that I do preseason before the year starts, they're missing some key pieces. And I have a lot of faith in Leach's ability to reload. But nonetheless, there's a lot of question marks there. And I feel like they're maybe not as good as I was thinking 2 months ago or a month and a half ago. So I'm going to say it's another win for the Utes. I've got them now. Is that 4-0? No.
Yeah.
That's 5.
5. Yep. So 5-0. I mean, it's an interesting thing because they got a new quarterback, right? Leach is reloading a little bit. But you have, like, their schedule. They got New Mexico State, Northern Colorado. Those are two wins. Like, talk about.
No, Leach is always losing to the FCS teams. He's lost to 3, I think, in his tenure.
Okay, I didn't know that. But ultimately, those are two games that are good games to be working in a new quarterback, right? And then you get Houston. Could be a tougher game. And then UCLA, they should beat UCLA, and then Utah. So it's like their schedule's building momentum for them to where I think as much as you were a question mark earlier when we discussed the schedule, I think it's more of a question mark for me.
You feel like they'll be ready, kind of warmed up and ready for go because they haven't had a tough team. I think they're going to feel overconfident, and I think their fans will feel overconfident. I don't know is that the players will necessarily feel that way, but I think people will be thinking of this as, oh, maybe WSU again, maybe they're the real deal because they'll have, you know, wiped the floor with UCLA, and then they're going to run into a real defense and struggle. Utah lately has been fairly successful at holding down their offense. It's been offensive issues that have kept them from winning games, as I don't need to tell Utah fans. And I think that now with the new OC and kind of the new grinded out approach to scoring points, it's better suited than trying to do fancy stuff. And they're just going to do what they do best. And against WSU, that's what works best. So I think it becomes into a strength against weakness stage, and that will help the Utes.
All right. Well, I think it's going to be close, but I'm going to go with a win.
So
as
we're
well.
Both 5-0.
So we're 5-0. The season is riding.
This is
high.
The problem. Everybody goes through the schedule, and you're like, well, where's the L's?
Yes.
And they're hard to find.
Yeah. So next is Oregon State. Not much to talk about here. That should be a win.
No, they're maybe the worst team on the schedule. And I say that knowing that Utah plays NIU and who's the
FCS? Idaho State.
Idaho State. They're bad. They're really, really bad.
That's bad. All right. So here's the next game. I feel like the next two games are potential quote unquote trap or the what the heck happened kind of games. But let's get into it. So Arizona State.
Win.
Yeah?
Yeah, win.
Okay, I feel like Arizona State for some reason has the number of the Utah
they do,
time.
They do a little bit.
It hurts.
But I think they're a lot worse this year than they were last year. They lost a lot of talent. And I think people don't realize how much they lost both on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. And I think they're going to take a big step back just from talent loss.
All right. I'm comfortable going with the win as well. So Arizona State, we're still undefeated. This is getting scary a little bit.
Yeah, and I want to say about this notion of sort of head-scratching losses. You hear this all the time. It's like, that team always gets a WTF loss. What's that about? What it's about is if you have an 80% chance of winning 9 games, so 80% chance of winning every single conference game you have in a year, you are going to lose one. 87% of the time. You only win all 9 of those 13% of the time. And that's with an 80-20 shot of each individual coin flip, as it were. So the idea that a good team should win all their games isn't really true. And that's kind of the fundamental issue with head-scratching games is you should expect teams to lose a game. The problem is you don't know which one they're going to lose. But we could say, I mean, we're going to pick all wins through these middle 4 games. But if you ask me, will they lose one of those games? I'll say yes. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean. And you got one more game to do that then with Cal.
I'm not going to pick, but how can you pick them to not beat Cal, right? So this is kind of my problem, as it were, with going through game by game, because it's easy to pick a win game by game. But if you say, what's their overall record? Well, I'll say, well, they've got a 34% chance of going 11-1, because that's what I do. So I just need to speak up for my different approach now.
Hey, approach is much
as we're talking about trap games, because to me, a trap game isn't a trap game. It's just this statistical aberration that happens to every single team every single time.
And that's the point I wanted to make, is that this is an every single team kind of a thing. It is not a Utah thing.
Utah's always losing a game.
Yeah.
But you could say the same thing about USC, Notre Dame, Michigan. Everybody who isn't 3 to 4 touchdowns better than every opponent they play will lose a lot, you know, at least 1 or 2. So it's not a reflection upon Utah's approach or on Kyle Whittingham. It's just, it's a random as heck sport. And sometimes you lose to teams you shouldn't lose to.
Exactly. So, are you picking a win?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to pick a win against Cal.
How could you not pick a win against Cal? They're Cal.
All right. I mean, they have a good defense.
They
it's
do.
A really good defense.
They do.
If you turn it into a slugfest, all of a sudden, all you need is one play. Washington taught us that in the conference.
Why are you
title.
Doing that?
So,
what was that about?
It was a good lead into the next game at Washington.
Okay. Here it is. That's a loss.
All right. Yeah.
It's on the road. We haven't beat Washington in a long time.
Yep.
They clearly have our number in a number of different ways. More than on their defensive side, they are able to get yards and points against Whittingham's defense in a way almost nobody else is. And
I don't know if I'd go points.
Not points. Well, last year was weird. It was a little weird. But they're able to move the ball, and that makes it hard to kind of get in the groove. And it wears the defense out and creates a lot of other sort of structural problems that make it easier for Washington to win those games. And I just don't know why you pick a win on the road against the team you haven't beat in 2 years.
Yeah, no, I think I think all win streaks end, right? And so I really want to just pick this as a win, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, it would be great, and I would much rather they have the head-scratcher loss against Cal or even ASU in the division and then beat Washington. I mean, that would be, for me as a fan, more fun.
Yeah, I'll take the loss at Cal. You know what? Honestly, the loss, if you're going to go that you're going to lose Cal, beat Washington, I can see that, right? You overlook Cal a little bit. You're
right. That's an easy
ready
story
for
to
Washington,
tell.
Right? It's just, it's a very easy story. But nonetheless, yeah, I think it's a loss. But I also think I feel bad for UCLA because
regardless of what happens against Washington, UCLA was going to run into a buzzsaw. It's either going to be a, 7-0 at this point, 8-0, like top five behemoth riding high off of winning on the road. A far inferior opponent in UCLA and just stomp them. Or they'll be mad because they picked up their first loss and they'll prepare extra hard and they'll just stomp them. Although most of it is just they're way better, so they're going to beat them every single time, and that's that.
So we're getting to game 8 in the Pac-12.
So now we're 7-1.
Yeah, we're 7-1. Well, no.
No, 6-1.
6-1.
Begging your pardon.
Yeah. So we're 6-1 in conference. And we're playing at Arizona November 23rd. What do you got?
A win.
Yeah, it's a win. This is what, never mind. Yeah, a win. Yeah, it's a win. And then versus Colorado.
Another win,
right?
Yes.
So all of a sudden, we're at 11-1 both.
Because there's no losses on the schedule.
They're not on the schedule.
But what I will say is they are likely to lose one of the 11 games we said they were going to win. Well, 9 of the 11 games we said they were going to win, maybe 8. But we don't know which one. And looking at each in isolation, you can't say it's that one and have any confidence that you're going to be right.
True. I agree with you. I mean, one thing I've said multiple times this off season has been this season's going to come down to senior leadership. It's going to be a big deal, and I think they have the leadership to where it's hard for me to say, even thinking in a whole thing, I just don't see this team going 10-2 because they're going to win these games they should win because the leadership's going to be there to keep everybody loose but also focused.
Yeah. I mean, I think 11 is a reasonable expectation. I think that we were talking about fan expectations. What do you think? How would you, if a fan asked you, Grant, I'm looking to define my expectations for the season, how many wins should be disappointing?
Disappointing? 8.
How many wins should be exciting?
10 and up.
I think it's 12. I think
you wouldn't be excited at a 10-2 season.
No, 10-2 is what I expect. 11-1 is what I expect. 12 is a big deal because you don't win, as we talked about, you don't win 12 games unless you are massively superior to every single opponent on your schedule, which means massively superior to teams like USC, Washington State, and Arizona State, which means you're as good as maybe Alabama or Clemson. So that 12-0 means that the Utes are that order of magnitude better than we're projecting them to be, means they are an actual bona fide title contender. And they're not that. Like, that's nobody, I think, is saying they're a title contender. Right. And an 11-1 or a 10-2 season reaffirms what we already believe, which is that they are a Pac-12 title favorite and a very, very good team this season, but not, and there's an important distinction that we went over early in the episode, but not a championship title, national title team. If they win 12 games, maybe they are. And so that's where I would start to go. If they beat Washington and they're 7-0 or 8-0 or whatever it is, I might say to myself, this could be it. This could be the year. And that's not something I'll say if they win 11 or 10 games.
So are you disappointed if they win only 9?
Yes.
See, that's where I think that's a little bit much.
We're a win apart, I think. You're satisfied with a 9 or a 10 win season, impressed with 11 or 12. I think if it's not 12, it's what I expect.
If it's 11 or 12, I'll be ecstatic. If it's 12, unless the freaking game against Colorado is close, I will be having a freaking panic attack probably, because if they ruined a perfect game season on that game, I would be so pissed.
They gotta lose one, right?
But nonetheless, it's, look, I am I've learned from my years of being a fan that it's best to just have a little bit lower expectations.
I agree with that.
It's a lot more fun that way, and you're not going to be as disappointed. Because look,
you should probably listen to Grant.
If they go 9-3, that's a successful season. They're in the Pac-12 title game probably. Have a shot at the Rose Bowl still. That's a successful season. That's something people should be okay with. It shouldn't be bringing out disappointment and fire, hashtag fire whomever
well,
you
no,
want
but
to.
I never hashtag fire anybody, right? 9-3, you're not going to be firing people. But 9-3 would be a little bit of a letdown for me.
Okay.
And it's when you start thinking about those losses. Like, to get those three losses, you have to lose to every single good team you play,
yeah,
which would be disappointing.
That would be, I see
what
you're saying.
Or you've got one or two where it's like, oh, we lost to Arizona and Cal. Like, what the heck happened in those two games? And you'd feel disappointed. Like, there's
true.
Not enough.
I see what you're saying.
Right? There's not enough good teams on the schedule that you can feel like it's okay to lose these three. Pick the three that it's okay to lose in the same season. That's hard to do.
Yeah, good point.
But so with you trying to pour some water on the fire, I'm gonna light it up here just for a minute.
Okay.
So I built something new this offseason. It is a conference title calculator, a division title calculator. So instead of just calculating how many wins they're going to get,
right,
this actually simulates the whole season 10,000 times and says this team will win the division this number of times over those
right.
10,000 seats. So it gives us a pretty accurate, it's plus or minus about 0.5%, pretty accurate view of where the favorites are in each division, right? So
uh-huh.
I've run these numbers, and these are based on the preseason totals for all the various things that I do and the win probabilities for each individual game. I'm going to start with the North. The North is a little more interesting. The lowest is Cal. Cal has a 0.63% chance of winning their division. So, you know, not nothing. But,
not Oregon State.
But pretty close to nothing. The next one down, and this is part of what we were talking about. Yeah, Oregon State, zero. And this is Oregon State doesn't even exist in my mind. This is what I was talking about with Washington State. Washington State is next at 13.78. A lot of that's schedule, but they're just not quite projecting up to the level of all the other good teams, particularly in the North. Then next up is Stanford, 17.4% chance. And then Washington is one of the two heavy hitters in the conference, to nobody's
yep.
surprise, with about a 28% chance. And then Oregon, about 35-36% chance to win. So Oregon's a pretty heavy favorite, and I was surprised at the lowness of Washington State and Stanford's numbers, under 20% chance
yeah.
to win. I thought it'd be pretty close to a 25-25-25-25 split between those four teams, and it's really not.
Yeah,
Oregon
it's
has
not.
A disproportionate
it's Oregon
share.
And Washington.
Yeah.
It is Oregon and Washington. I agree with the way your model spit it out.
Well, good. That's a good sign, isn't it? And then we're going to move to the South. So in the North, it's kind of a crapshoot. Really don't know who's going to come out. You could vote for almost anybody in that conference and
coin.
Feel good about
I
it.
I will say, though, the media poll, if you think about it, you took votes for the North versus Utah. The North is going to win the Pac-12 title.
Yes.
Just a side note.
And I wouldn't agree with that. But I would say that game is a 50-50 shot for any of these
no,
champions.
Sure. I agree. Yep.
So in the South, we've got our 0%er Colorado. They have no chance, and not one of the 10,000 simulations of the season I ran last night did they win a conference or division title, excuse me.
Okay.
And then we've got Arizona, 0.73% chance, less than 1%. UCLA with a 3% chance. Then USC with a 6% chance. Then Arizona State with an 8% chance. And if all those numbers sound really low to you, it's because Utah has an 81% chance of winning the division. And there's a lot of reasons for that.
I feel like you almost have to let that sit for
81%. It is – so was that 5-1 odds against? You would give – if you said, I want to bet on the field, I would say I'll give you 5-1 that Utah beats the field.
Your simulator there, Joseph.
It's good.
That is.
And keep in mind, I'm like a point and a half out of the spread over the last 4 years. I mean, I'm right. I'm right about these things most of the time. So just this isn't just me like pie in the sky. I've built this thing over a half a decade, and it works.
All right. So what you're really saying, to tie into earlier, is that we should be disappointed if the Utes don't win the division.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
That would be a wholly disappointing result, if the Utes don't win their division. Okay. There's a couple reasons for that. One is everybody in the South except Utah is bad. USC looks bad. UCLA looks bad. ASU lost a ton of stuff. Arizona and Colorado are the way they always are, which is bad. I mean, there's just a lot of bad teams, and Utah's really good, and they don't have to be Alabama or Clemson to beat the other five teams in the South. They just have to be decent, because the other five teams are not going to be able to put together a 7 or an 8 or a 9 win conference season. So even if the Utes do go 6-3 in conference, they're almost certainly going to win with that record. Right. So. That's really the main reason, is the other teams are expected to lose. And then the other thing, of course, is they're out of division opponents. They miss Oregon, and they miss what's the other one they miss? Stanford? Yes. They miss Oregon and Stanford.
Yeah.
Which is a big, big advantage for the Utes. Oh, yeah, say no. USC, which I think plays 3 or all 4 of the good North teams. So yeah, I mean, setting expectations, win the South. Absolutely win the South, and then against any of these teams, and it'll vary and it'll start to adjust over the season as we learn more about the teams, but I think a coin flip is a reasonable projection for any title game against any of the North teams who are likely to come out. But if you're going to pick your odds on Pac-12 favorite, you're going to pick Utah, because you already have a lot of certainty that they're going to be the one on one side of the coin come championship day. You don't know who the team on the other side is, and that True. Makes Utah the odds-on favorite to win the division or the conference.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that swig of Kool-Aid right there.
81%.
81%. All right. Well, next week is game week. The week of the game.
I can't believe I'm not going to be here to go on a 20-minute long rant about BYU. Oh, I mean, that's what I live for.
It's going to be.
I might like record one in my office on Saturday and just send it in because I want to have it.
We can do that. So we are going to have some guests, and I want to try to get someone who knows BYU a little bit more to talk BYU as a legitimate game preview. Hopefully get in a couple co-hosts to talk about the game and the season in general and different things. So hopefully we'll have a good episode for you next week. And until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk. Brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.